Welcome to Second Court of Appeals. Probably noticed the panel has changed. To my right is Justice Sue Walker. To my left, Justice Bill Meyer.
Hello.
I'm Leanne Dofano. And we have two cases set for oral submission on the 10:30 docket. Everything else is set for submission on briefs. I understand both sides are ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. And if you'll call the case, first case, we'll get started.
Court will now call Parker County Appraisal District versus Office of Disposal Assistance. Appeal number 02-15343 CV. And may it please the court, Mr. Brady Metcalf to argue for the appellant, Mr. Joshua McCarty to argue for the appellee.
All right, Brady.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. This is a consolidated property tax case brought by plaintiff appellees Posky Disposal Systems. I have the pleasure of representing the Parker County Appraisal District, who is the defendant at the trial court and the appellant here today. Each of the appellees, own property in Parker County consisting of both a surface estate and a subsurface estate, and those terms will be critically important, so I'd like to elaborate briefly on that. What we're looking at here is the owners of this property have raw land, and they also have saltwater disposal facilities on this land. There are four separate saltwater disposal facilities. The tax code and the Constitution of the state of Texas require and grant the authority to the appraisal district, my client, to assess these properties for their property tax assessments each year. What the appraisal district did in these circumstances was relying on the advice of a third party, Pritchett and Abbott, and their expert witness, who his testimony is before the record, Mr. Rodney Krett, said that they were going to tax the land itself, and then there was a separate entity created and taxed for the saltwater disposal facility. It needs to be clearly stated from the outset that there is no evidence of double taxation in this case because there are two separate things being taxed, the surface estate and what is referred to as the saltwater disposal facility. They're two separate things. No one is controverting the fact, or it is undisputed, that there is a saltwater facility being used for commercial purposes on this property. I refer to that as a subsurface estate because that's the language the expert, Mr. Krett, used, and that's the testimony that's before the record today. And I'll also refer to that as a Section 1.042F estate, which is the definition of real property that we'll get to shortly. The Texas Constitution, Article 8, Section 1, requires that the appraisal district must tax all real property. And that is a broadly defined term, all real property. We'll get to the specific subsection of the statute, which is Tax Code 2301. But essentially what that says is that we must tax any interest in land. The appraisal district is left to its own devices through the guide of the tax code to set up the system by which these interests and the real property is categorized.
Excuse me, can you explain something to me?
Certainly.
Because I'm easily confused. Where is this saltwater disposal facility, and how is it separate from the surface estate?
It is on, let's consider this one tract of land.
Right.
And then on that land, they use a portion of that land, not the entirety, just the portion reasonably necessary to be used for the facility to inject salt water into the subsurface area so that the salt water is contained therein. So you have one parcel of property. On that property, you have the land that's just not being used for commercial purposes, and you have a saltwater disposal facility, which consists of a borehole, some other business personal property, such as the pumps and things, that they actually get the land, get the saltwater into the subsurface in the land. And then, of course, under the land, there's permeable rock where the water can be disposed of.
All right. So if this were a, let's say, a gravel pit, you would tax them on the surface land, and then you would also tax them additionally on the gravel that was down in the gravel pit. Is that correct?
It's a little bit different, but under the same theory. What we have is, I don't know exactly how they would tax the gravel pit, but the appraisal district would look at that property and say, this property has two things on it. It has land and it has a gravel pit. We are required by law to assess both because they're both interests in real property, and then the appraiser would have discretion provided by the legislature to, as long as they're using acceptable methodology, to tax both portions of that property. In that case, it may be that they're not separable, in that you can't really distinguish one from the other, or they're not separate commercial uses, but the appraisal district would say they chose to do it in two separate things, would say, we're going to take the gravel area, consider that one unit consisting of the equipment that it takes to run the gravel unit, anything that is used to put the gravel there, and the gravel itself, and tax that as
one
thing.
You don't put gravel into a gravel pitch, take it out.
Okay. I apologize. That's my okay. Knowledge of gravel is very limited.
That's okay. Okay, we've had some cases involving drones, and we've discussed how far above the ground a person owns and can claim. How far below the ground does a person own or control in relation to the surface ownership and control?
I don't know the answer to that question, Judge. What I do know is that the appraisal district has taxed on the land and everything that's associated with this disposal facility, and they've only done that once. They then taxed everything else separately. We're not saying that we taxed the, say, for example, you have the borehole and then the surface area around the borehole.
Mm-hmm.
We have categorized that entire area that is part of the facility as one taxable entity, and then all of the things that are not a part of that facility as something else. We did that for the ease of appraising it. The tax code requires the separate listing of separate interests. The interest in just the land that is not subject to the permit and not subject to this use is one legal interest. There is a second legal interest, including the right to inject the permit, which is an untaxable, intangible, and the business, personal property, and things that are associated with that. And if you look in the key opinion, the well, the real property surrounding it that's reasonably used, the tanks, the pumps, and personal property that are associated with this disposal facility combined to, that's how we combine all that to assess the well. So what the chief, go ahead if you.
So if I have my house and I own the surface rights, but I also have the mineral rights, my taxing entity is going to tax me one time for my surface rights and then tax me again for my subsurface rights?
Yes, ma'am, that is how it works. It would be separately listed as two taxable interests. The vast majority of that in that circumstance are under the $500 threshold, so you don't see a bill for any of that. But if you do get above that, you have a separate taxable interest and it would be listed on the tax roll separately as required by law. That is true. This case is a little bit different because there's a facility itself which encompasses real property and personal property. We had to categorize all that into this interest, which we refer to as the 1042F estate, the saltwater disposal facility, or the subsurface interest. And I've come to realize that they're really hanging on that, the terminology of the subsurface interest, but that includes this entire entity. So we had to appraise the land, and we had to appraise this disposal facility. So the chief appraiser, Mr. Larry Hammonds, who you have an affidavit in the record, he testified that none of the saltwater disposal facility was included when they taxed the land itself. He's not bifurcating the bundle of sticks for any type of any one of the single six property rights, but he is separating them and saying these are used separately, so we must tax them separately. The evidence in the record is clear that the appraisal district did not tax it twice. They only taxed them as separate interests. For example, the totality of the value of these disposal facilities is $8 million. That is not included in the land itself, which is substantially less. The evidence, they're asking you to void the taxation of these disposal facilities in that completely and totally, removing $8 million, which we think is against public policy and against the evidence that's presented here today.
Mr. Metcalf, yes, I want you to assume with me that the law is that if you own the surface of the land, fee simple title, that you own everything at the surface that's under the surface of the land to the core of the earth.
Okay.
If these folks were out there without a evidence on the surface itself that they had a borehole and that they were going to pump wastewater down into the ground at a point where they've determined from other activity, drilling holes or whatever, that they've got some porous material that'll accept the wastewater. And at the point where if you don't have anything above ground except you've drilled a borehole and you know you might have some porous rock down there, at that point, would there be a separate taxable interest for property tax, ad valorem property tax?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, under those facts, because you wouldn't have, when the chief appraiser looks to appraise that property, he would not have a separate taxable interest or a separate facility that they're required by law to tax.
In other words, there wasn't any money associated with what you've discovered that you might have under the soil, even though in terms of value, though by the testimony of the expert here, you've got rock there that can accept the wastewater, and therefore that's a valuable asset, and all you haven't done is monetize it by a contract.
Well, you haven't established the facility, which includes the pumps and everything else that's on the surface as well.
Well, my point is, I'm not understanding how you can get to the circumstance of having two separate accounts on the ad valorem tax rolls for subsurface possibilities of the use of the land, interest in the land, the use of the land, founded on the basis of how much your contract is with the companies that you're allowing to dispose of wastewater on your location. In other words, if what the appraisal district did was by some means determined that there is porous rock under the ground in this particular tract of land, then that opens up the value of the land to an additional factor rather than just looking at what's on the surface.
That is true, Your Honor.
And so does the appraisal district have the authority to go out and drill a borehole in somebody's land to see if they've got porous rock out there?
No, Your Honor, they don't. They do have the ability to tax those minerals separately if they had intrinsic value.
Not minerals. It's not in minerals. It's just porous rock.
Under those facts, without the totality of there being a saltwater disposal facility that we would be required to tax, I don't believe there would be a separate interest there.
All right, thank you.
The interest is created by the totality of the factual circumstances.
I understand. And you're not equating the term, you are equating the term interest to a properly identified taxable item as opposed to an estate where there is actually a creation of an estate like there is in an oil and gas or a mineral interest.
That's exactly right, Judge. And for example, the Key County case that we ask you to read, which were the exact same facts, exact same witnesses, different attorney for the district, but same attorney for the plaintiffs, They looked at this exact issue, and the part that I'd like to point out as my time runs low is they stated that the appraisal of the real property and the rights associated with the ownership of land should not be confused with the appraisal of the land itself. The bundle of rights that are embedded within the fee simple ownership of the land require a separate appraisal when monetized to the extent that additional value is evident. So we're not taking out a fee simple. We're dealing with a separate right that exists, and that right, when it's monetized and used commercially, creates additional value. So the appraisal district taxed the land, and then they tax the facility. It is not double taxation. It would be double taxation if they included the value of the facility in the land, and then they also then tried to come back and tax it a second time. For example, the cases that deal with the leasehold interests that are cited by the appellees say you can't tax a leaseholder for the value of a commercial building and then come back and tax the owner of the building for the commercial value. That would be double taxation. But using the right to categorize two separate interests in one piece of land is not double taxation. It's just taxing fairly. If you are to hold that that's double taxation, they have $8 million worth of what we assume to be the value, and I will cease at this point.
No, finish your sentence.
Okay. If you remove the $8 million off the roll, we're not going to put that back on the roll. It will result in a windfall to the appellees based on the categorization made by the appraisal district, meaning we would not see that value. And that's against public policy, because if something were to go wrong with this well, we would have to use the Parker County Sheriff's Department, the fire department, and things with, if something were to go bad with these wells. And as we know, things do go bad with these wells. So we try to capture that value by categorizing it separately. Thank you for your time.
We're getting feedback on that microphone. Josh?
Good morning, and may it please the court and opposing counsel. The
Embry, can you make it stop doing that? We're going to try to fix that feedback.
We're getting feedback up here from that microphone.
From this one?
Mm-hmm. Is
it? Okay. May just be a way to turn it down.
One knob here.
Oh, there it is. Testing 1, 2. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The tax code is full of first principles when it comes to real estate law, and that's one of the things that I've most appreciated it for in looking at cases like this. The tax code does categorize what can be taxed, and it begins from the very definitional sections with what is real property. Well, here are the different things that real property could consist of. It could consist of land, a mine, timber, and includes, real property does include an estate or interest in any of those above things. However, that does not equate to taxation. That's just identifying categories of property. Property is taxable. Real property is taxable, but it's not always separately taxable, and it's certainly not separately taxable when there has been no creation of a separate estate or interest. And that is the at the core the problem with the appellant's argument. It's the problem with the 12th court's rationale in the Key Energy case, is there has been no creation of the right. And Mr. Metcalf even used that word when he talked about a created separate entity. Well, there hasn't been a separate entity created. There's simply the landowner using their land for a specific purpose. That by itself does not create a new, separately taxable estate or interest. Now, Justice Dofano, you mentioned the gravel pit concept, and it sounded a lot like the Gifford Hill case, where they had a limestone quarry, some of which was being quarried and some was not. The land itself was filled with that valuable resource, and the Supreme Court of Texas said, you can tax that valuable resource only to the extent that it's being quarried. So to the extent that some of that was coming out of the ground, they said, yes, you can tax that as a separate, as a quarry. That's one of the categories that's actually identified. Later in the tax code, there are several references to separate estates or interests being taxable, and that includes leasehold interest in otherwise exempt property. The airport example, I believe there are plenty of cases that talk about, well, the airport property is exempt, but the people leasing this hangar, they have to pay taxes on that leasehold interest because the underlying land is tax exempt. Mr. Metcalf has suggested that we are somehow claiming that all of the rights associated are the equivalent of saying that we're entitled to some sort of tax exemption.
That this property ought to be tax-free. No, that's not true.
The property ought to be taxed in accordance with the tax code. That's what we're arguing. And the appraisal district is not required to use this novel theory of a subsurface interest that's never created except by the fact that they're now using the property. And that's where this goes outside of the tax code and into a land that no other court has ventured except for the 12th court in the Key Energy case. And the problem with the Key Energy decision is that the reasoning is conclusory. It says, well, since we know that separate estates or interests can exist, and that's what the appraisal district has labeled this property, then it must be taxable. I mean, that's essentially the root of the argument in the Key Energy case. And that's the difficulty I had with reading it. It was the frustration I had with reading it after arguing it. But at the heart of it, even the cases the 12th court cited make it very clear that all the separate interest types of cases that they mention all resulted from a conveyance, an assignment, a deed, a mortgage, something that courts have traditionally recognized in real property cases as actually physically, legally creating a new thing that could be separately appraised and taxed. We don't have that in this case. We simply have a landowner who got a permit from the Railroad Commission to use their land in a certain fashion. And if we're going to start monetizing use and taxing use, that opens Pandora's box to a whole lot of disturbing concepts. Are we going to start saying, well, the 12th floor of this particular building is being used as a medical practice, and therefore it should be assigned its own higher value? But the 11th floor is a real estate company, and they don't make as much money as the doctors do, so the 11th floor is going to be taxed at a separate value based on its use. Same building, same owner, different use.
So you mentioned that you're just requesting or seeking that it be that the saltwater mines, whatever, be taxed in accordance with the tax code. And how would that occur?
Your Honor, the way I envision that occurring is you look at what's there first. You start with, what do we have here? Well, there's a well bore that gets down to some porous rock. In Parker County, thanks to the natural gas drilling, there are a lot of properties with well bores on them. Can those have a value? Sure. If you go out and you say, okay, this well bore is so many feet deep, there are ways to actually appraise and value that. You could call it an improvement to real property if you wanted to, because if somebody had to do something to get that hole there, it's not a naturally occurring hole, even though the rock strata that's actually where the wastewater goes is naturally occurring, which is different than the coastal liquids case, as we pointed out in the briefing. So the well bore has one possible method of valuation as an improvement. The pumps, pipes, and tanks are personal property, and to the extent that they're not permanently affixed to the land. If they were permanently, they could be improvements. But in most cases, we believe that personal property, and even the appraisal district's expert in his little methodology in the record talks about, there's essentially personal property. What that does, though, is it forces the appraisal district to look at comparable property. Are these pipes, pumps, and tanks worth $8 million simply because, you know, the owner, because they've decided to look at so many years worth of revenue versus so many years worth of expenses, or are they worth what it costs to buy pumps, pipes, and tanks? Is Bill Gates' laptop worth $1 billion because he uses his to make more money than I use my little Dell laptop back here on the council table? I don't make $1 billion using that laptop.
Isn't this an attempt to tax the income on the property, but since counties can't tax income, isn't this a way to get some of the income by calling it an estate in property?
Justice Delfino, that's exactly what happens here. Somebody says, gosh, those guys seem to be making a lot of money. How can we get in on that? And they've figured out, okay, well, how can we label this in a way that would take it out of, well, what does somebody get for having a well bore on their property? How much would it cost to put these few pumps, pipes, and tanks out here? Well, that may be, and that's how they used to do it, by the way. I mean, Mr. Kretz acknowledges that. Well, they used to do it as basically the personal property value and maybe a nominal value for the well bore based on what it cost to put it out there. But because people are making money off of it, they decided we got to come up with a new way to do this to capture some of that value. And the problem is when you start with the end in mind instead of proceeding from first principles, that leads to these very questionable decisions.
So essentially the subsurface is being used for storage.
It's not even storage, Justice Delfino. That's another problem. There's nothing valuable. The closest thing to any value is the naturally occurring rock that might have enough holes in it to hold some wastewater. But, and that was the other problem, Mr. Kretz's approach, he's a mineral appraiser. He's thinking to call these wells is a bit of a misnomer. They don't produce anything. The service that's being provided by my clients is we're taking water that nobody wants and pursuant to a permit that we got from the Railroad Commission and to whom we're accountable, we're cramming that water down into that rock formation where it will stay until it's filtered out through, you know, the natural courses, and it has to stay there, and then that's on them. That's what they had to get the permit.
So if y'all were storing rocks on the surface until they wore away sandstone, let's say, until they wore away, would that create a separate estate?
No.
And for the same reason, Justice Delfino, that's exactly the point, is somebody's coming out here and leaving stuff that they don't want anymore, and the Parker County Appraisal District saying, okay, how much are you making to receive that stuff, and let's turn that into an estate or interest. They have not said, oh, we're appraising this thing out here, and we're not counting it, you know, the land is separate, so we're taxing the land out here, and then we're taxing this thing. They're not taxing anything physical. They have said repeatedly, Mr. Kret, the Appraisal District, and council in brief, they are taxing the right to use that property in a certain fashion. That is the definition of intangible property under the tax code, and it is by law not taxable. Once you call it a right, to use, that's when asked very specifically, what is this subsurface interest? Mr. Kret said repeatedly, it is the right to inject salt water into the ground. And as soon as I had that answer, you know, that's right there in the tax code. You can't tax a right to use something. More importantly, and I put this in sort of at the end of the brief, but looking ahead to an enforcement of this, if you're going to foreclose on the tax lien, let's say my clients don't pay taxes on these properties, and Parker County Sheriff is called in to go out there and seize that property, what are they seizing? They can't seize the pumps, pipes, and tanks because that's not on the list. They can't seize the land. That's been taxed and paid for. They can't seize the hole. The hole's not going anywhere. And it's also not part of what they've described. They've only described the right. So the Parker County Sheriff is going to come in and foreclose and take the right to inject salt water. Once again, that's based on a permit. What are they going to do with that? What is that going to sell for on the open market? There is no value in that intrinsic value in that permit apart from the physical property that's there. That's what makes this so far removed from the tax code that the Parker County Trial Court properly said, this is void total taxation. There's no other way to describe it. You are taxing the land, and then you're taxing a use of the land at best. At worst, you're taxing a right to use the land, which is by definition not taxable either. So either way you slice it, the Parker County Appraisal District has strayed too far from the tax code to be allowed to do what they're doing in this fashion. It's not that they're left without a remedy. They have the ability to do this the right way. The problem is that they may not get as much value from those pumps, pipes, and tanks and the well bore in the ground as they would like to. But we don't measure market value. We don't measure fair market value based on the income that owners make from property, unless it's actual real estate where the value is derived from occupancy, you know, where someone is actually using the estate itself and occupying that. And then we do use an income approach for real property. But we can't apply an income approach based purely on a permit. We can't apply it based on a right. And we can't apply it based on something that is not actually seizable at the end of the day if the taxes went unpaid. And for those reasons that we would ask the court to affirm Judge Quinter.
Mr. Carden, I want to ask you a question, but yes. In terms of when the salt water, or when the wastewater, let's just call it wastewater because there's a lot of other things and salt other than just salt.
Sure.
When that wastewater is forced into the rock, is there any benefit to the land having had that porous rock injected by the wastewater?
Benefit to the land?
Yeah, I'm talking about in terms of whether you've enhanced the land value by filling in the porous rocks with a more solid, and they become more solid after they absorb or after the wastewater is pumped into it.
I don't think so. Not that I've heard in anything.
That's not a part of this case. I didn't see it mentioned anywhere.
It's not, and it's not. I'm not aware of any. I mean, in retrospect, if anything, you could argue that there's a possible detriment to the surrounding land because, you know, people say, "Oh, I don't want the wastewater. I don't want."
I'll be running over on my land.
Right, something like that. But I don't believe it. If there's any argument that I've seen from either in this.
When this wastewater is injected into the hole in the ground and put into the porous rock that's below the surface, that's under the fee simple ownership.
Yes.
Who owns the water?
Interestingly, Your Honor, there is a case from the U.S. Supreme Court, I believe it's the Mosier case, that says that water goes with the surface, that whoever owns the surface owns the water.
So if I put that in the ground, it becomes automatically a additional part of the fee simple estate.
That's what I've took from the Mosier case, U.S. Steel Corp. versus Mosier, that water and the surface estate are legally linked and always have.
But no one has yet equated that to an enhancement or an improvement or of added value to the land, to the surface.
Correct, Your Honor, mainly because there's nobody wants that water once it's down there. I mean, that's one of the things that just it's considered wastewater. That's the operative
word. Thank you, sir.
And counsel, let me summarize what we're asking you to do and what we're not asking you to do. You are here to determine whether or not the right to inject this salt water is a taxable interest in real property. We are not here to discuss value. If you find there is a taxable interest, you would remand this case back and we would determine what that right is worth. But we haven't gotten that far. You'll have many experts that say it's worth a dollar and you'll have many experts that say it's worth a lot more than that. But you're not asked here today to determine that. That's why there's no evidence before you of the value of these, of this right. We are not taxing income. We're taxing the right that is contained within this real property. In order,
taxing the right that's contained within the fee simple ownership of the real property.
Right, we are.
I thought they were already paying a tax on the property.
I didn't hear you, ma'am.
I thought when you owned property, you owned the right to use it.
They have a separate right.
And you're taxing.
They have a separate taxable right of interest in this property with the permit to inject the salt water into these disposal wells. For example, you couldn't buy the permit and then go onto this gentleman's property and inject the water. You have to have a right associated with the real property to do that. We cannot tax the permit. That's intangible. The permit combined with the facility gives them the right and the interest in that property to perform this commercial task.
Okay, so can you answer Mr. Carden's question about should you desire to foreclose on this interest, what would you seize?
Judge, I do not represent the tax collector or the sheriff's office. These interests do exist because they've been leased before. For example, in the Key County case, you had one that was leased, so there had to be some property right associated with that lease, and that property right that was leased or could have been leased is what I assume that they, through the advice of their counsel, would go after.
That case, the leaseholder was not paying the tax on the fee simple.
That's correct, because it was a separate ownership of the surface estate and the leasehold.
Exactly. So hasn't the surface owner here paid the taxes on the fee simple, which includes this right to inject? There's no question if the right to inject was leased out, then possibly there could be a different result. But that hasn't happened here.
But the appraisal district is tasked with categorizing these properties. They have not paid any taxes on the surface estate associated with these saltwater disposal facilities because the chief appraiser made the election to categorize them as two separate estates. It's not an election that I think we could have gone the other way on because we are required to do that. This is a commercial enterprise, and that right that is, I suppose if you found that there was no interest, next year we could go back and do it all together, but the chief appraiser is given broad discretion in how they appraise the property under the tax code, and they chose to do it as two separate interests. The Matagorda County case makes it clear that this is a new thing. They didn't know when the Constitution was being drafted and the tax code provision was being drafted that we would have these saltwater injection wells. And say we miscategorized it as a separate interest, the Matagorda County case says miscategorization does not exempt this property. They're asking you to hold that this is exempt. It is not exempt. This right, or subject to double taxation. We did not include any of the saltwater disposal wells when we taxed the surface rights. We separated them or bifurcated them. And if we miscategorized them, we'll apologize for that and do it correctly the next time.
So,
but that doesn't mean they're exempt from taxation.
I want to go back to what you said. You said because they could lease it. All right, I could lease my house. So you're going to tax me on the value of my house and you're going to tax me on the value of a leasehold, a prospective illusory leasehold?
No, Your Honor, I was only using that as an example to show that a property right that is leasable exists with this permit and the right to inject the saltwater into the disposal well. There, just because they chose not to lease it doesn't absolve them from paying the taxes associated with it.
As though they were leased.
Right. So you're not exempt from taxation on your house because you choose not to lease it, even though you could lease it. Subject this right to enter, which is a separate estate, separate interest in real property, just because they choose not to lease it to somebody, even though they could because there's clear evidence that other companies do it that way, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist or is not taxable. We're asking you to find that this is not double taxation. We're not asking you to discuss value. It could be worth a penny, but it is taxable. We're required by law to tax all interest in real property. Same thing with a lease. You have the right to enter on property, or an easement, you have the right to enter on property. That is a separate interest in real property. It may be worthless or exempt because it's public property, but it is a separate estate that is taxable. We'll get to the value later. We're not seeking enforcement. We're just asking you to hold that it's a taxable interest. Thank you for your time.
No, thank you, Mr. Metcalf.
Thank you. We appreciate your coming here to answer our questions and to argue this case today. Your case is submitted. You're free to go about your business, or if you'd rather stay here and watch the next case, which is a criminal case, you're certainly welcome to stay and watch. But you are released to go about your business if you would like. And if the lawyers for the next case...